Coaches, lead 'em up was recently referred to as the tool that gives you the answers to the test. I love that. You see, as we go through the coaching experience, there are so many tests in front of us, so many challenges, especially in the leadership space. We think about our players not communicating well enough, not holding each other accountable, not embracing and maintaining the standards that we need to in our program. All these challenges and tests, lead 'em up can help be the answer. We give you all the tools, all the materials, all the teaching points to shift your players' perspective, to grow them into the leaders you need to win. Take advantage of the coach's membership. It is time for you to go all in and reap the rewards. You're listening to the Lead 'Em Up podcast. Powered by Chick-fil-A. Thank you for hanging with us today. I'm Adam alongside Kyle. Kyle, I'm excited for this one because we've been talking about this for a handful of years internally, and we've dabbled with it a little bit in social and, you know, posting in our Facebook group about this idea. We even threw out, I think it was maybe a year and a half ago when we did a survey, we included this topic in the questioning to kind of just gauge people's input. And the question in the survey a year and a half or so ago was, do you envision a time where there will be a leadership coach on staff in the building, essentially stipend, working with all the teams throughout the program? You envision that scenario, and I remember the results. It was a third said, no way, like can't see that happening. Yeah. Don't know where that would ever come about. Two thirds said, I could see it. And now I remember asking in the questioning, and it wasn't a definitive, yes, it will happen, but it was, could you see this? And two thirds could see it. One third said no. But, you know, for us, we obviously have a unique lens because this is what we do for a living. And I think it's important to talk about where we envision the leadership coach in that role, specifically around the high school space, what we think that will look like in the future and the trends that we are moving towards, because there is a shift. And the shift in many ways has come, you know, I'll give an example of how we know there's a shift happening. We are what's the right term here? The initiators in many cases of what they call a new line item, new line item in people's budgets. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have heard this so much from teams, from athletic directors, from schools that, you know, they've got to fundraise for this leadership coach. I've got to try to find the funds for this. I've got to go and request a grant for this meaning the leadership work that we are delivering and producing. Right. And in many cases, we have heard that this is a new line item for us, Adam. This is a new line. You know, we didn't have this 5 years ago. We weren't budgeting funds and resources to accommodate and, you know, bring in leadership coaches to work with our teams from a mental standpoint, from a culture, social, emotional, whatever, however you want to view it. So it's a new line item. And when you view new line items in the market, it is usually as a result of innovation and or a gap. Innovation and or a gap. A gap that, like, there is a need in our teams, in our marketplace that is currently not being met, or we want, or we need this met. And because there's a gap, now all of a sudden we've got to bring in something new that is a new line item to fill that gap and serve that need. Or it's a result of just innovation. You know, haven't seen this before. This is new. This is something I didn't realize we needed, but now we do. And in many cases, I view what we're doing with Lead 'Em Up almost a mixture of both. I view it absolutely. In many ways serving the gap. I think coaches are recognizing and players are recognizing that, man, we can't be successful without our communication, without the levels of accountability, without the self-awareness within our players and developing them as people. And the better they grow their leadership and character, the better everything else falls into place. So I think they've recognized the gap. And then I also think there's an element of innovation on how we are delivering it, right? The framework to which we're producing, the language to which we're generating, the gamification and the awards and the incentives and the packaging of what we're delivering is being presented in a new and fresh and unique way, almost with through the lens of innovation, that they're saying, wow, between the two, this is something we need. And this is something we need to start budgeting for. And this is now making space, and we are now playing a role in athletic programs. So in light of that, I think it behooves us to have a conversation to say, well, where will this go? What does this look like if we keep trending? And what do we, in our minds over at Lead 'Em Up, what do we think it'll look like? What are we working towards? What are some of our big goals and aspirations and where we see the market? That's kind of the tee up for today's episode. What's it going to look like, Kyle? Because it's absolutely changing.
Yeah, I think the first thing that comes to mind is, you know, when we're working with schools, one of the questions that we often get with coaches who are interested or athletic directors who are interested is, well, how does this work in other schools? And what often comes to be initially for many schools is it'll start with one program and they'll say, well, you know, you brought up the point about the new line item, Adam, and that's certainly the case with many schools and budgets. They'll say, well, this year we're going to go with a single team and we want to take a look at it. And then when we get to year two, what happens is now they want it for the entire school. And that's where a lot of our athletic subscriptions have come into play, is experiencing the innovation once they realize the gap in what was there and then getting a taste of that. And I think that's the exciting thing when we look at, like, not only just our viewpoint and what our goal is and how we want it to grow, but like what the actual feedback is for the teams and coaches who experience it. And another indicator, I think, is how, as coaches leave, we've got several coaches in our community who have moved states or moved programs, but haven't left Lead 'Em Up and have continued to bring that component to their program in a new state. So that's the exciting thing, is once they're able to share the impact of what it's had on their players and their program and how it plays an important role and it's important in their budget, we can see the growth is happening, and it's exciting to see.
When was it for you, Kyle, that I came out when you were coaching at Orchard Farm? You were coaching, you were the head girls basketball coach.
That just popped up on my memories the other day. I'm trying to think what year it was.
I mean, what did 2016, 2017?
It was like 9 years ago, I think, is what it popped
well,
up.
I started, the first team I worked with was in 2015. And that was at Watkins Mill High School. That's the football team. So it was 2015. Yeah. Well, let me take that back. Actually, it was 2014. We launched Lead 'Em Up August 2015. So I worked the fall of 2014 going into 15 with the team. Lead 'Em Up didn't become a thing until officially August 2015. So at the earliest, it was either 2015, that winter season around the holidays, or the following year.
Yeah. Yeah. Right around there for sure.
All right. So let's think about this, right? The first team that I worked with, 2015, it was brand new to that team. It was brand new to me. You know, this whole thought of, and for anyone that's heard the story, you know, I was mentoring a few kids at my local high school. The coaches said, man, you know, is there any way I could get you to work with all the kids, not just some of the kids? You know, they could really use this influence and this positive role model to kind of develop them. Many of them not having, you know, father figures in the home and such. And it was new, right? And that was 2015. And I had no idea what to do, right? Built it as we went. It was new for them. They just said, hey, let's do it. I'll cut practice an hour early. The time I was hosting the Hardwood Hustle, basketball coaches podcast with Alan Stein. And we were serving the basketball coaching community. And prior to the Hardwood Hustle, in 2014, there weren't even really podcasts serving the coaching community. That's one of the reasons Hardwood Hustle grew so exponentially, because we were like the first really, I mean, I think there was Coaching You and us, and for the, that's really it. And I mean, if you think about it, the four sponsors that we had partnered with us at the Hardwood Hustle at the time was Better Basketball, PGC Basketball, Vertimax, and Crossover, which is now Huddle. None of those individual organizations had their own podcast. They became part of our podcast. We actually had them record little clips and all that. I say all this because as I was going through the Hardwood Hustle, I was very connected to the coaching community. And yeah. As I began talking about Lead 'Em Up on the episodes through the platform, not only was it new for me with the team I was working with in Maryland, and new for the teams around this community of Maryland that I began sharing the story of what I was doing, it was new nationally too, because I started speaking on it during the episodes and I would get inquiries from coaches across the country, or we'd go travel around to do different events through the hustle and we'd speak at various coaching clinics. And it was always new. Everyone was like, man, what is this going on? So, I mean, if you really think about this whole concept of what we're doing and Lead 'Em Up, once again, prior to 2014, wasn't really a thing. You had been, when did you start coaching in general? Not just girls basketball, but even back in football.
Yeah, I started when I was finishing up my degree in college. So when I was student teaching, so the first year would have been 2004. When I officially started.
And I mean, 2004 to 2015, during the time before Lead 'Em Up started, you guys didn't have a leadership coach.
No, everything was hodgepodge. You know, that's one of the things I'll tell coaches a lot of the times when we're on our calls, is just sharing my story with them, is like why we exist and why I looked at Lead 'Em Up is because I was going to the clinics, and what many coaches do is we go to clinics and we gather as much material as possible, and we'll create notebooks, we'll create files. And basically I was coming up with a 10-week themed kind of session. So each week had its theme, like heart, character, courage, whatever the case is. And what I was doing is finding like couple quotes to use each week that we talk about at practice, maybe find a news article to share. And then we'd have a video clip with a message kind of supporting it that I found like through a film or something like that.
And I'd argue you were doing more than most.
Yeah. I mean, certainly was putting a lot of time to it, but it never was quite what I wanted it to be. I always had a vision for like having something like this, but I had three preps. I coached two sports back to back. So you go from August to March, essentially. And then by the time you're done, you just need a break. So when I was one of those coaches to where it was funny enough, I was driving to a Coaching You clinic in Indianapolis when you and Alan first started launching the hustle. And then I started hearing you talk about it. And then obviously you had family in St. Louis and had you out. And that's kind of where your and I's connection began. But I think a lot of people were maybe similar to that, where we had these notebooks in place. And some coaches I still talk to today was like, no wrong for what they're doing. And everyone's different. Some people choose not to come on board and they'll say, I have this program in place. This is what I'm doing. But for me, it was never something that had the teeth, just doing it by myself. And that's where, when we look at the projection and where this has evolved, is how it's presented, how it's packaged together, how intentional it is. And then the thing about it is it's the way it hits kids, the way it
engages,
sticks to them. And adults see that now. They're like, you know, I was at a group last week. You saw I was with this Take Stock group, and there's these young student athletes in the audience and they have mentors with them. And so the whole time they're like, wow, I can't believe the kids were engaged the full time. Mm. I've never seen them like participate like that just so willingly. And so I think like that's the thing when we look at our projection of why it's growing and why it will continue to grow.
Hey guys, this is Kayla from Chick-fil-A, and this is today's Leadership Nugget. They say that you are the sum of the five people you spend the most time with. So the question is your circle forcing you to level up? I often remind my team that they are responsible for who they allow to influence their life. Are those people contributing to their success or are they holding them back? Great leaders know when and how to edit their circle because you see, as the leader changes, the circle has to change. It doesn't mean that you're cutting people out of your life completely, but you're limiting the amount of time that you spend with them and how much influence you give them over your habits and your commitments. So my challenge for you today is that as you continue to fight for personal growth, commit to selecting the right people to influence your habits and match your hustle. Surround yourself only with people that force you to level up. Now let's jump back to the episode.
You're right on. So, all right. So going back, so dates, once again, 2016, we'll just say you and I did our first session and actually, you know, I'm over here, like we're trying to guess when it was. I actually had that plaque you made that you had made and 2015, 2016 season.
Okay. Yeah.
2015, 2016 seasons right over there on my wall where you had all the girls sign and like little thank yous and such. So anyways, here's where I'm going with that. I mean, this whole concept of a leadership coach and really an intentional leadership program, I mean, you could really argue it's less than 10 years old. You know, it's less than 10 years old. If you go online and look, you know, I remember the Patriots have a leadership and character coach. And the first time he ever got spotlighted, his name is Jack Easterbay. The first time he ever got spotlighted, you can look it up, USA Today, is the Patriots' secret weapon, their character coach. It was released on February 1st, 2018. 3 days later, Yahoo, the character coach Jack Easterbay does it all for the Patriots, February 4th, 2018. Essentially the first time in that regard that it started getting discussed and talked about. So you look at it, it's relatively new. It's within the last 10 years that this evolution of a leadership coach is entering in. And frankly, it reminds me a lot of, once again, going back to the Hardwood Hustle, my co-host at the time was Alan Stein. Alan Stein was a prominent strength and conditioning basketball coach that worked with some of the highest high school programs in the country. DeMatha, he was with Montrose Christian as Kevin Durant went through. He did all the strength and conditioning for all the Nike Elite. So he had certainly kind of risen. He did a lot of work with Team USA and such. And strength and conditioning, but he tells the story and told it many times on the podcast that when he graduated Elon, thinking that was maybe late 90s, early 2000 timeframe, right? 98 to 2002, somewhere in that range. There wasn't strength and conditioning coaches at the high school level, really. I mean, to his knowledge, there were none. And he began writing letters to Montrose Christian's head coach, Stu Vetter, right? Basically asking, hey, I will train your team for free. Like, let me just get a shot. He tells the story how he did his, he said, let me just train him one time. If you don't like it, we won't talk again. Stu Vetter finally was like, all right, you can train him. Afterwards, the kids were like, man, that was really good. Man, I haven't had a workout like that in a long time. That slowly began to evolve, right? And then he later joined DeMatha, but he had to write letters to kind of pitch strength and conditioning. Now there's organizations all over the country. Now every kid has a strength and conditioning coach. Every program is linked to a strength and conditioning program of sorts. Many schools have strength and conditioning coaches in the building, right? Helping kind of construct plans and lead these workouts for all the different teams as they go through. Why? Because there was a gap, right? You recognize coaches. If I'm a volleyball coach or a baseball coach, I'm not a kinesiology major. I'm not a performance coach. I'm not a strength and conditioning coach. I don't know all the nuance. I don't know how to reach all the muscles. I don't know all the right appropriate workouts. So there was a gap in the knowledge. I also don't have the time I'd be thinking if I was the coach to put together a full comprehensive workout plan and manage it all. So we began to realize there was a gap in the strength and conditioning space. And then there was also innovation. You began to see strength and conditioning coaches innovate, right? They're doing all this timing and speed tests and jump, you know, like I don't even know what it's called half the time. Tucker, our guy Tucker does it, where he like measures force on your like knees and stuff when you land on jumps and things like that.
So much evolved since when we were in high school. It's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, so you combine innovation with a gap and now all of a sudden it's a prominent place in athletics.
And, oh, for sure.
And it's needed, right? Because you get kids, you know, they're tearing muscles and their ACLs. And like, man, we got to make sure we get the right people training these folks so they know when to push, when to pull, what workouts are needed, right? To keep a balanced workout. So you take all the language of that, and it almost holds true for where we are with the leadership coach, right? I mean, you think about the fact that, you know, one, it didn't exist at one point, but man, all of a sudden you realize, man, this is helpful. This can help grow us. It can help move us closer to winning. Man, coaches really don't have the time, nor are they in the position to build out a comprehensive, robust, emotionally intelligent, engaging curriculum. They don't have the time for that. They don't have the time to brainstorm all the gamifications and ways to tap in and how to build one exercise onto the next so it's ongoing. You begin to realize like, wow, in the same way there was a gap and a need for strength and conditioning and specialists with a specialty and insight and knowledge and education in this space to come in to work alongside to help elevate the program, combined with the innovation of how it's being done, it almost feels in the same way, the same shift that took place with strength and conditioning. We are in the midst of it right now with leadership, character, mental. I think all those kind of combine into the same equation of sorts. And, you know, when it really hit me was this. Right before COVID, Kyle, 2019, I was working with a local high school here in Maryland, Damascus High School. And during the course of that year, their athletic director, we had to invoice them 7 different occasions during the course of the year. It was one of those that like each, the athletic director here, you know, they hold the budget, but each team has like autonomy to spend, you know, and like, but it all kind of flows through the athletic director. Every state's different on that. But, you know, but during the course of the year, that year I worked with football, cheer, palms, boys basketball, girls basketball, baseball and lacrosse. 7 sports. 7 sports with 7 different coaches, all at varying points, having this moment of just like, hey, this could be good for our team. Hearing about it, you know, learning about it, reaching out independent of the others, wanting to line up sessions. So during the course of that year, we cut their athletic director 7 invoices. He had to cut 7 checks in turn. And it was really at that year where I walked away and I had this moment, and we've been talking a lot about it over the last 3 or 4 years. They kind of opened my eyes at a greater capacity than ever before that programs need leadership coaches. When you've got 7 teams in the midst of a program all reaching out to solicit a service, hello, that service is needed, right?
And it's delivering.
And it's delivering and it's producing and things of that nature. But it opens this mind of saying like, wow, I sat there and just thought to myself, like, they need a leadership coach. They need an on-staff, in-the-building leadership coach working with all the teams, comprising the game plans, the leadership plans, the strategies for each team based on where they are, what happened the previous year, what the current makeup and dynamic is of their roster, young, old, experienced, immature, all these different dynamics, working to put together a plan to kind of grow them, develop them, build them. They need a leadership coach, just like they would need a strength and conditioning coach and trainers helping them. They need a leadership coach. And it was at that moment where we began kind of elevating our conversation, Kyle, about, you know what? I think, I don't know the years. I don't know if it's 8, 10, 12, 15 years, but you're going to see continued momentum within athletic programs over the next decade or so. And we're going to be helping drive that force that if you're an athletic director, you need a leadership coach in the building, quote unquote, on staff, quote unquote, right? Whether they're contracted or actually stipend. To really provide that resource for all your coaches to elevate all the programs within your program. And we are seeing that play out, Kyle. since that conversation in 2019?
100%. So think about it along the lines of, why do most schools now have an athletic trainer? Because they realize the benefits that that provides them and how it helps them keep players ready to perform at the highest level, moves them closer to winning. No one can really present an argument on developing leaders is not going to help you. And there's no sound argument that says better character and better leadership isn't going to enhance your ability to win. One of the things that we'll often talk about with our teams is, when all things are relatively equal with talent, is the other side of that equation. You have skill and scheme, but your talent and your character, right? Your leadership is going to drive you forward. So when we look at that, and as schools have copied the athletic trainer in some of the training models that are out there, it only is going to increase in leadership as they see schools have success with leadership and character coaches because they want to win. And when they see schools have success with it, then you're going to look at, okay, you know, we have this product over here. We have this innovation where they're reaching kids over here. They're getting retention rates a little bit higher. Their program has a strong culture. They have leaders waiting in line as one group graduates and next group's ready to go, where there's not a gap in that. Maybe we should look into that. If they continue to win over there across the town and they're doing this, maybe we should look into it. And I think that's just where we're headed and where we're starting to go.
Yeah. And just so, I mean, just to show where it's playing out, I'll spotlight a couple of schools around the country. Here in Maryland, spotlight Prince Orchard High School. You know, they're a local team to where I reside. And I mean, they can't say on paper that they have a leadership coach on staff, because then other schools in the county will think, oh, why don't we have a leadership coach on staff? So they can't use that term, even though they're funding it, but they essentially do, right? I mean, essentially, they have me work with every single varsity team in the program at varying levels, minimum of 2 sessions per each team. But in addition, consulting and creating a plan for all those coaches. They all have access to our online curriculum. They're all being tasked with different things to do in between our sessions. And I look at those teams, there's a legit leadership program there, right? And it's sure. Such a large point, fall, winter, and spring, every team, every athlete, varsity engaging in it. It's why end of their year last year, they had a 2-page spread in their yearbook for Lead 'Em Up. It played that big of a role in their athletic program. Go back on my Instagram a few posts ago, right, where I shared it. It was incredible. I didn't even know they were doing that, right? But it made such an impact. All the kids sharing about, you know, getting verified and the need to build a green team in their sports teams, but every team. And there, they are essentially as close as you can get as having a leadership coach in the building on staff. Their coaches reach out to me. They inquire. They're like, hey, coach, this is happening right now. What would you suggest? Hey, when do you suggest I do that? I mean, we're working in conjunction, you know, and it's not even because I'm in Maryland and they're in Maryland, because you could look at 2 schools where I think of, with Port Washington up in Long Island, and I think about Air Academy out in Colorado Springs, where, you know, and you've got schools in the same way. You know, I think about Dakota Ridge for you, Scintilla, right?
Scintilla.
And, you know, I think about Phoenixville in Pennsylvania. Scintilla's in Georgia. Dakota Ridge is also in Colorado. Phoenixville in Pennsylvania. We've got a handful others. I think about Locust Valley. I think about Wheatley, where these schools are doing, right, seasonal campus days. So they are kicking off every one of their fall, winter, and spring with their leadership coach. We work, you're kind of with Dakota Ridge. This isn't just a one-time thing. You're going out there all throughout the year, multiple years, where we are going out kicking it off. We're then working with their coaches, helping consult and build out a plan for each of their teams, for them to follow and facilitate, just like a strength and conditioning coach would do, right? Hey, here's your workout. Here's your team's workout plan. It's going to be based off this. It's going to be based off this. It's going to try to accomplish this. It's put together this way. You just simply have to facilitate it in a similar fashion. And these players in these programs, when asked, is leadership important here? When they see the level of investment and engagement and how it's reinforced at the level that it is, there's not a single athlete in any one of those schools that wouldn't say, oh my gosh, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? No, yeah. We're big on leadership and character. We do leadership and character. And I know I left out schools, you know, as I was naming some, I know I left out schools. Nonetheless,
too many of the list. My
apologies. But nonetheless, it's showing that, you know, we are continue to move closer and closer into this space where this leadership coach, I believe, ultimately will be a stipend position in school districts where you have a leadership coach, just like you have a trainer or leadership mental coach that is working with all the teams and growing their teams, their cultures, enhancing their mindfulness, their mental, it'll be a variety of things. And I know for a fact right now that there are a handful of district supervisors. So I know that's different around the country, but I think that's the title that they have here in Maryland, but they oversee all the high schools and all the athletic directors report to them.
Yeah. Yep.
I know for a fact, they are keeping an eye on Lead 'Em Up and the work we're doing, especially with some of these full school rollouts. They're keeping an eye on it. And they're keeping an eye, although they won't say, they won't say exactly what their plans will be, but you can kind of read between the lines. Because if this keeps growing and continues to generate demand and in turn generate impact, this may be something we need to take up the ladder, request funding, and start making it more official.
Absolutely. It's kind of, you know, it's one of those things where you're looking, you're keeping an eye out, and everybody wants that edge, and then nobody wants to be left behind. So you kind of positioning to get on board. Some are waiting for the proof, but it's just the natural evolution of sports and where we're at with how we want to develop athletes. And people have seen that in the past 5 years. And now, first it was kind of like the mental coach. That was one thing that was always there. And then you had the personal skill development coach that came along, and that's real popular now. Mm-hmm. And this is the next evolution to where people are really seeing the impact that it can have on their athletes.
It'll be fun to watch it continue to grow. And, you know, let us know what you think. And who knows, maybe there's a district around the country that it's already happening. I have not heard that. Have you heard that? Where there's like a stipend, like kind of countywide or district wide, every school gets a coach.
Now, certain schools will have like their own in-house programs but there's no official position for it. You know, yeah, everyone does their own little thing.
Yeah. So, you know, let us know. I mean, if there are any out there, I would love to know. And we're certainly going to keep you posted as it continues to evolve. And we hope when those evolutions do happen and those districts are inquiring that they reach out, because we'd love to help support them and serve them in those capacities. But once again, I think when we look at the future of the leadership coach, it will be as permanent of a fixture as a trainer is in athletic programs. It will just be part of what our kids experience. They will benefit greatly from it. Our teams will benefit greatly from it. And I think that's where you'll see, and it'll be fun to watch really over the next 5 years. I think we could have gained even greater momentum. Well, actually, you know, let me take that back. I was going to say we could have gained even greater momentum if not for COVID, but I'd actually almost flipped that to some regard. And COVID actually helped generate momentum in the leadership space because the kids couldn't get together to actually practice and such. I know in Maryland, the coaches still got stipend, but they had to do something with their team. So they did a lot of leadership work via Zoom because we actually got pretty busy during that time. So you could argue that actually fueled it a little bit, but it'll just be fun to watch it continue to grow. I really believe over the next 5 to 10 years, you're going to see this leadership space in such a more prevalent, prominent position. It's going to be really, really beneficial for coaches, for teams, for athletes, and programs wide. So Kyle, bookmark this episode whenever it gets released. I know we're recording it Monday, October 9th. Okay. Just remember that Monday, October 9th, the time of this recording, 2023. Let's see what it looks like 5 to 10 years from now. We'll come back on this conversation. Kyle, appreciate you as always. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening. On behalf of Kyle and the entire Lead 'Em Up team, until next time, have fun and lead them up.